You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Danny Wexelman with Gregor Chisholm, who covers the Blue Jays for MLB.com. Gregor, I am filling in this week, so it's a treat to get to talk to you this week right before the holidays. So hopefully I do an okay job filling in. But listen, we just wrapped up the winter meetings in Vegas. You were out there. I was out there. And, you know, it was not the craziest winter meetings in the history of winter meetings, but it was in Vegas, so it added a little luster to that. I'm wondering, before we get into some of the news and notes of the week, give me one or two takeaways from the Blue Jays from winter meetings.
Yeah, I mean, the first takeaway was a little bit of surprise that the Blue Jays moved on from Troy Tulowitzki as quickly as they did. I think the expectation was that move was eventually coming. I'm surprised it happened in 2018. I thought that might be something that would really drag throughout spring training and really even into the start of the regular season as the Jays tried to find a way to make room for some of their younger players. But it really came to a head pretty quickly. So that was a bit surprising. And then the thing that was pretty much expected is that it was more of a sign that this team is going to be patient this offseason. I mean, there were some rumors. Yeah. But not much of anything being close whatsoever. I mean, there was continued talk of trading guys like Marcus Stroman, Aaron Sanchez, Russell Martin, but there was really no significant headway made in any of those movements. And I mean, same goes for some of their free agent targets who are definitely going to be in that mid-tier. I mean, it seems like all of baseball is moving a little bit slowly, but the Blue Jays in particular, I think, are really looking more as like kind of like a late January, maybe early February and into spring training to really complete some of their offseason. It doesn't seem like there's going to be movement quickly on any of those fronts.
Okay. All right. So we'll keep our eyes and ears open, for those slower moves, but maybe more calculated moves for the Blue Jays this offseason. But we do have a little bit of news, which is exciting for the Blue Jays. Mark Shapiro announcing renovations for their spring training complex. And Gregor, these plans are going to start this January. So now I have a lot of questions to ask you about this. How much is this going to cost? What benefits are there going to be for the Blue Jays? Where are they going to play? How does this all work for them?
Yeah, I mean, this is something that's been in the works now for a number of years, and it took a little bit longer than I think the organization initially intended to get everything wrapped up. This dates back before Mark Shapiro was even president here. It goes back to Paul Beeston. And so they've really zeroed in here in the last couple of years on finalizing all the details. And it's about an $80 million project. It's going to be about $40 million close to it for the stadium and just a shade more for the spring training complex itself. And the whole idea is turning the minor league side where the spring training complex is right now, turning that into really a year-round training facility for the Blue Jays to use. And it's something that they've been really lacking, to be perfectly honest with you, over the last 10 years or so. Their facilities have really been noticeably dated compared to the rest of the league. And that's both in terms of the quality of the facilities, access to certain technology, just the overall like fields themselves even needed some work. So the real focus for this current group was really improving that training center first and foremost. And the players are going to see the benefit of that. The fans aren't going to really notice too much there because a lot of it's not what they have access to. But what will be for the fans is over on the stadium side, where there's going to be a lot of renovations done there as well. They're adding kind of a little bit more of a party deck in left field where there's going to be a tiki bar. Walk around kind of all around the ballpark now, whereas before they were really limited to kind of the infield area, really modernizing a ballpark that for the most part hasn't been touched in a few decades now, besides like just kind of minor, paint jobs here and there. This is going to be a wide scale renovations.
And the big deal to add on to that, Gregor, is that they're staying in Dunedin. And that's a huge deal. That's a huge deal to Mark Shapiro and the entire organization. So what needed to be done? What compromises had to be made so that they could stay there?
Yeah, and you're right. That is a big deal. because, you know, there was talk, you know, 5-6 years ago about how the Blue Jays were probably going to have to move out of Dunedin. And, you know, the Jays have never gone to another, they've always had that relationship with Dunedin. It's the only place they've ever known. And so a lot of fans wanted to see them there. It's kind of a unique town as well, because it's the ballpark's kind of nestled right into the middle of a community. It's not an industrial spot at all. And so it's kind of nice to see the fact that they were able to work that partnership out. And really, it did have to become a partnership. I mean, this was something that required funding at the state level, at the county level, specifically from the town of Dunedin. They had to give up a little bit of land. There was 3 softball fields that were near the training facility that they're going to give to the Blue Jays to make as part of their complex. The one challenging aspect that they just couldn't really come to a resolution on was, you know, ideally the Blue Jays would have had the stadium and the training complex all in the same spot. But it's just not possible in Dunedin. The land just doesn't exist. And so the Jays have had to really kind of make the most of what they can do. And so the plan is to have players at the training facility throughout spring training, and then guys who are actually going to be in the game at Dunedin on those 15, 16 days a year, they're just going to bus over to the stadium from there. So it's not perfect. It's still a bit of an inconvenience, but it's only about a 10-minute ride. It's not the end of the world. And the fact that the Jays kind of will make the training center their home really kind of gives them a little bit more of a permanent base. Whereas what they have done kind of in recent years is, you know, the training center has been their home for the first couple of weeks of spring training. Then the Dunedin Stadium becomes their home. The minor league side's completely on the other side of town. It's just kind of made things a lot more convoluted. So this isn't perfect necessarily, but the facilities themselves should be top notch, and the rest is kind of the minor inconveniences that go along with it.
Yeah, that's pretty exciting. I did have a chance to see the facility for the first time at my first spring training last year, Gregor. So I know that this is going to be something really special, and just a chance to kind of, you know, you give back to the players, you give back to the town. So it's a win-win for everybody involved. So this is a pretty cool deal. And I believe you could probably go to BlueJays.com by the time you're listening to this and see some of the art that they've drawn up for it. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think one of the cool things about the stadium is, you know, that Dunedin Park is one of the, they're going to keep some of the kind of the old school components of it. I mean, it's one of the fields where you can really get close to players. It feels like a spring training complex. And I think from a fan perspective, that's kind of what you want, because you want something a little bit different, something that doesn't necessarily feel like a big league stadium. And so while the facilities are going to be newer, it's going to keep that feel, which I think is personally kind of cool.
Absolutely. All right, so let's move on to the team, the actual team on the field. And since you and Tim had a chance to talk last in Vegas, the Rule 5 draft happened. So the Blue Jays did a little bit of something. So let's talk about Jordan Romano, because the Jays lost out to him. He's a pitcher. I got to meet Jordan Romano at spring training, Gregor, and I think this guy is fantastic, a really good person. But unfortunately, he's now with the Rangers, I believe. And then they added a guy named Elvis Luciano, who's got a pretty interesting story. Tell us about him.
Yeah, Luciano's a really interesting case. I think part of this is the fact that the Jays had one extra roster spot on the 40-man roster after they got rid of Tulowitzki. And so initially they weren't expected to make a move at all in the Rule 5. Going a couple weeks leading into that, Atkins had all but ruled it out. And then the day before the Rule 5, which was the same day that they released Tulowitzki, Atkins kind of changed his tune and said that they might actually do something after all. And then they kind of caught everybody off guard on that Wednesday morning, or that Thursday morning, when they picked Luciano, because this is an 18-year-old who's never pitched above rookie ball. He was only available in the Rule 5 because of this odd quirk with his contract. Atkins said that it had to deal with some previous health issues he had that nullified his original deal. Long story short, that made him eligible in this Rule 5. And you certainly don't see 18-year-olds eligible for Rule 5 very often. You certainly often very see a guy who's 18 trying to make the jump now after just having just pitched in rookie ball. So it's going to be interesting. I mean, initially you kind of thought that maybe the Jays were doing this to try and maybe work out some sort of side deal where they could find a way to keep him in the system. But Atkins was pretty adamant. I mean, this, he's going to have a chance to compete for a job in spring training. And the Jays, it seemed like they're going to, you know, they project him long-term as a starter. He's not going to be that if he makes the big league team, obviously. They're going to try and stash him in the bullpen. It might require them to be pretty creative, because the only way they can keep him in the organization is if they keep him on that 25-man roster all year. And so that's going to be tough, but it's ultimately going to come down to how he looks in spring training. And the Jays had Roberto Osuna, who was at 19, only a year older, had done something similar where he came from A-ball straight to the major leagues. It would be hard-pressed to think that Luciano's going to have that type of success, but the Jays are kind of gambling, and the fact that they're a rebuilding ball club allows them to gamble a little bit more.
Yeah, you never know, I guess, right? You never know what a guy's going to turn into. So the Rule 5 draft is a really interesting part of baseball and a part of the winter meetings. For those who don't know, it's on Thursday morning after the whole week of everybody running around. This kind of caps it off. And it's an interesting room to be in. There's a ton of people and representatives from the clubs and the GMs are in this room to pass on players and grab them every once in a while. So it's an interesting thing that we do. So we'll see what happens with Luciano, Gregor. But listen, you're going to take a little break from these podcasts. I'm going to take a little break from these podcasts because it's the holiday season. But fear not, Blue Jays fans. You can go to BlueJays.com and check out all of Gregor's stuff if you need your fix over the next few weeks. We're going to come back in January. And by then, you never know what the Blue Jays may have done. But Gregor, I really appreciate your time and all your knowledge on this great stuff the Blue Jays are doing.
Thanks as always for having me, Danny.
All right, with Gregor Chisholm, I'm Danny Wexelman. Thank you guys so much for tuning in.